In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I know this is weird. It's a weird time. Most of us will never, ever forget an Easter quiet like this. I'm sure that is true also for the women who ventured to the tomb on Easter morning. Of course, they didn't have Easter yet, so of course they wouldn't forget. They didn't expect to find the grave empty, much less to find and see Jesus alive. And when they find the tomb, they can only surely imagine the worst. They surely reason that Jesus' grave had been violated and his body carried off. That'd be the most reasonable, natural explanation for the empty tomb, right? Of course, they were heartened to at least see one who they thought was a gardener and to inquire of him. The women were not all that different from our contemporaries who believe that death is natural and that the resurrection is not only unnatural, but it's out of the question. I'm going to challenge you a little bit today. And hopefully you'll never, ever run into the error, I think we always do, of thinking that death is somehow normal and natural to our existence. It's not. It is the way of the world ever since the fall of our first parents has been the way of death. And even our culture that has given us the slaughter of the unborn, physician-assisted suicide, and pandemics, both real and or imaginary or both, thinks of death as natural. So deep is our blindness to sin. So rather than face death, we are tempted to try to engineer it. Or as we are doing right now, trying to act like somehow we can distance ourselves from each other and the effects of sin and death among us. I really hate it when pastors quote too many movies, but I'm going to do it. I loathe myself for this, but I'm going to. The movie Forrest Gump. If you saw it, you might recall the words that Forrest speaks as he visits the grave of his mother. Mama always said death was part of life. I wish it wasn't so. Sorry, Forrest, Mama Gump was wrong. You see, and here's the point. Did I do it that bad? I even practiced that. If dying is just a natural part of living, then we might well justify the premature putting to death of innocent life, encouraging or demanding people at a certain age, as some societies actually are starting to do, to commit euthanasia, pushing for depopulation, rationing health care. And if it's true that death is just as natural as birth, then frankly, we really don't need Good Friday and Easter either. But as believers, we know the truth about death about life. You know, birth is natural. Death is not. You can't contain death either. Sin is a plague that affects us all. And you can try as hard as you may, there is no flattening of the sin curve. There is no vaccine or safe distance that can do the trick. For the wages of sin is death. The real problem is not so much death as it is sin which leads to it. As Paul says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. Sin fills death with terror, for sin puts us under the judgment of an almighty God. And this, I submit to you, is precisely the real underlying fear of mankind. of everybody else out there in the midst of all the hysteria, some real, some perceived. Namely, that death reminds everyone, whether they confess what we do or not, that there is no escape from an ultimate judgment. Man knows that secretly in his heart. Times like that bring it to his forefront. Death is God's own no to all human attempts to make ourselves Lord in his place. And I'd submit that that is what we have done. To sin is to live under a divine death sentence, if you will. And so the scriptures rightly call death the last enemy. We know that the God who raised Jesus from the dead is the God of life. Don't let anybody ever tell you differently. That's why at the Easter Vigil, which we didn't celebrate last night, begins with the creation account. Because our Father is the creator of all that exists. And out of love, God created Adam and Eve to not just have biological limited existence, but life, eternal life, lived in perfect communion with the triune God. But death is the result of sin. Put it this way, it's man-made. Therefore, it's not natural. It's completely artificial. God didn't create a single one of you to die. He created you to live. And so the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is not the affirmation of some vague and general well-wishing of there hopefully being life after death in the land over yonder. No. It is God's declaration, his edict, that he has defeated our last enemy by dying as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. God does not lie, he has done it. And that life is now yours in Christ Jesus. And while it would have been just as surely ours if we hadn't met together, man, it is good to be gathered with the saints of God and to confess it as one. Because Easter announces to the entire world that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life, there is salvation. Easter signals the fact that we've been reconciled to God, and living by faith in him, we are made partakers of his divine life. And nothing can take that away from us, not even death. Here, death has been undone. And through your baptism into Christ, you have been refashioned as a child of God. And joining Christ, you are part of this new creation forever. God has taken your sin, buried it in the deepest part of the font, and you will never see it again, nor will it touch you. Speaking of touching, Mary does a horrible job of social distancing here herself. And Jesus has to say to her, "Whoa, Mary, don't cling to me." Why? "Because I've not yet ascended to my Father." Now, pay attention to this. "But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Did you catch that? Jesus didn't use this language before his resurrection. What he's saying is, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." You see, his God and Father is now your God and Father. The sin that would separate us from the holy presence of our God has been removed. By his own blood, Jesus has reconciled us to his Father. He's made us to be his brothers. His Father is our Father. His God is our God. You see, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is God's stamp of approval on his redeeming work. Easter makes it clear. The Good Friday was not a failure. The cross was not a defeat. The crucified Lord is alive, and the life that he lives is the life that he imparts to you even now and even here in his gospel and his sacraments. And that's why, in spite of the rejection of any and all, and even in spite of the last second unreasonable, I believe, order of our governor, we cling to these holy things. because through them Jesus clings to us. Through them Jesus works in us the life that he has secured this day. This is essential. The Easter Bunny is not. You know, in times like this, I had to one-up myself because I felt bad throwing in a Forrest Gump quote, so I had to do something more absurd. People are forced, when they're to be quarantined in moments like this, to reflect on their own mortality. You know, we always wonder, how come so many prisoners claim to be born again? Well, maybe because they hope to get out. It also might be true. Because nothing will make you consider your own mortality than a blank wall and time to think about it. But it's amazing in these times, and this is why we should be filled with hope, even though this all just reeks. We all know that. But God is going to do wondrous things, I'm absolutely convinced. And I came across one of these the other day, the most unexpected place that I saw the most beautiful theology. I want you to listen to this. I won't tell you the author till I'm done. This is the beginning of the quote. In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down your stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I'll shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down the theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I'll make it where you can't go to church. God said, this is him still quoting, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And then he continues. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to all take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the, all caps, only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus. It's my prayer for all of society. And I never thought that in an Easter sermon I would thank this man for sharing such beautiful and profound words, which he also shared to millions upon millions of followers on all of his social media accounts. Who is it? Hulk Hogan. All you can say to that is praise be to God. Yes. Truth is truth, regardless from where it comes. Even if you have a fake tan, huge biceps, and an ugly mustache. Oh, I'm not speaking about him, don't tell us. But what a beautiful thing. I almost cried when I read that. I didn't believe it at first. I read it a second time. I'm like, God be praised. You know, we have come through this time when not only does our culture hate you for loving Christ, but those that come to him who are the deplorable or the lesser of society or from places where you wouldn't think they'd come, whether it's a Hulk Hogan or a Kanye West, are ripped to shreds because of the influence of the message that they seek to give and to bear, even after maybe a lifetime of regret. It was a beautiful thing. I couldn't believe it. Hulk Hogan in an Easter sermon. I don't know if I could have said it better myself. But I got like 3 minutes left to try, so let me work. Dear loved ones, given all that's taken place, you know, it'd be easy to think that this Easter is one that we'd like to forget. Maybe, Al, when we were sitting up for an hour last night thinking through all this, what do we do? It'd be easy to go, man, You know what? Well, you know what I say? May that never be so. Let this Easter be remembered forever. While this season of Lent and Holy Week has been challenging, and everything in our lives seems upside down, let us be reminded that God's promises remain true, the grave remains empty, and God can and He will use all that we face today for the good of those who love Him and the salvation of many. It's true. So let us keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because He and what He has accomplished for us is all that matters. Things always come in threes, and so I'm going to close with the words of another interesting person, not a contemporary, the great 4th century preacher, John Chrysostom, of whom they called, anybody know what they called him? The Golden Mouth. So let me close with his words. I've never closed an Easter that I've had the privilege of preaching without these words. Dear friends, let us all enter the joy of the Lord. First and last alike, receive your reward. Rich and poor, rejoice together. Sober and slothful, celebrate the day. You that have kept the fast, and you that have not, rejoice this day, for the table is bountifully spread. Let none grieve their poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let none mourn that they have fallen over and over again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let none fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. The Lord has destroyed death by enduring it. Hell is in turmoil because it's been eclipsed. Hell is in turmoil because it is mocked. Hell is in turmoil, for it is destroyed. Hell is in turmoil, for it is annihilated. Hell is in turmoil because it is now made captive. Hell grasped a corpse, and hell discovered God. Hell seized earth, and hell encountered heaven. Hell took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you, O death, are obliterated. Christ is risen, and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen because life is set free. Christ is risen, and the tomb is emptied of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.